Good to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to be in services with you. I don't doubt what the arrangements was a mistake this morning. I feel very confident that's the situation. But I forgot what Brother Randy called this event.
An episode.
An episode. That's a new one on me, and I'd almost forgot it. Last night, Brother Gary started off, set the bar high, and Brother Ferris followed it up and didn't let down any, maybe raised it a little. And I don't know that I should tell this, but it's been so forceful on my mind that I won't share it with you. The bride doesn't fight. The bride was not meant to fight. A few years back, there's 26 members of my family, extended family. We have 26 of us. And we all live relatively close together, which is extremely unusual. We went on a cruise together. Made a couple of stops in Mexico. One of them was at Progreso. I am insanely jealous of my wife. We were coming back from Progreso to the ship, and there were some young men about 100 yards off out to the left. We were walking casually up through there. My entire family was behind me, walking beside my wife, and she had a purse, and I guess she had bought a bunch of stuff down at Progreso, but it was heavy. And I offered to carry it for her. And young men off to the side over here about 100 yards is playing some music, dancing, prancing, having a good time. And for no reason at all, one of those young men came up. And he was all over my wife. I hit that man as hard as I could. And he started running. I tried to kick him. If I could have caught him, I'd have beat him half to death. The bride don't fight, but the bridegroom does. And my whole point is, we got a bridegroom that can do our fighting.
That's right. Thank God.
And he's a jealous God.
Yes.
He's insanely jealous over his churches.
Amen.
And I lean and depend on that independent God.
Yes.
And I'll regret that, what I've just said. Bad enough. But if these loudmouths over there tells my wife that I told about it, I'll regret it even more. Give you a few little statistics here, a little information that's perhaps useless. The word save, save, S-A-V-E, is in the scriptures 207 times. Saved is 104 times. Saveth 3. Saveth 7. Saving 12. Some form of the word save is in the Bible 333 times. And there can absolutely be a maximum of 11 that pertains to eternal salvation.
I agree with that. Wow.
333 times, and 11 of them pertains to eternal salvation. And we may spend 90% of our time preaching on the 11. We're living in a sinful time, under sinful situations. Our society accepts almost anything. Churches are beginning to be fearful of what to preach against. I've said many times at our church at home, the time will come, not in my day, I would say, but the time will come in the future that there'll be certain subjects that a person can preach from in the pulpit, and if the wrong person hears them, they'll be arrested. But it did happen in my lifetime. That time is with us. Anything is accepted in the society today. I want to read to you a little bit from Hebrews chapter 10. I guess I'll read one verse of scripture and then I'll back up and go to some other places. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's necessary for us to remind you from time to time what it doesn't say. It's not saying that there are some sins that we're going to commit willfully that will condemn us and send us to hell. Those sins were paid for on Calvary's cross. Anything that would keep us from going to heaven was taken care of. And when the Lord himself, hanging on the cross, said, "It is finished."
Amen.
It was finished.
Amen.
You can depend on that, you can lean on that, and you can rejoice on that. And no sin that you commit on purpose or accidentally will not send you to hell.
Amen.
But the 27th verse answers the question. But a certain fearful... But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. If we sin willfully, if we deliberately sin, I think the writer of the Hebrew letter is telling us you can be rested assured. You will not escape. It won't send you to hell, but it may make you smell like you've been there. My dad used to have a favorite saying. He said, "Young man," and when his conversation started out with "young man," he said, "I'll tan your hide." Well, there's a certain fearful looking for of righteous indignation. There are some certain sins that we commit willfully. Now, I'm going to get some things that you may not have thought about. Does the Scriptures tell us to obey the laws of the land? How many of you today broke the speed limit sometime this week? The rest of you should have admitted it too. Now, we got a system in Arkansas, and when you come through that state, I promise you, this will work for you. The speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and you can sin willfully and get by with it. You can set your cruise control on 75, and you can pass every state trooper in Arkansas, and he'll let you never look at you. You're breaking the law, you're sinning willfully, but the law is not going to bother you when you come through the state of Arkansas. Now, that's a silly illustration, but there are some other certain sins that we commit willfully that there is a certain fearful looking for of righteous indignation. Number one, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You can manufacture a headache. You can manufacture, I don't feel well. But God knows the reality of the entire situation, and if we deliberately forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, there is a certain fearful looking for of righteous indignation. I submit to you that God will not tolerate His children disobeying His laws. And you young parents out here, if your child don't fear you, you're not doing it right. I feared mine, mine feared me, and I fear my Heavenly Father. Is there... Obviously, there's mercy. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Whatever we say, whatever we do, I want you to know your sins have been purged. They're burned out. They're removed. They're gone. I'm saying that to remind you again. When He says there is a certain fearful looking for righteous indignation, He's talking about in the here and now. He's talking about our daily chastisements that we receive. And don't chalk it up to bad luck. There's no such thing as luck, good or bad.
Amen.
Well, I can't imagine not going somewhere to, in the Ephesian letter. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on the right hand in the heavenly places. Philippians 2, 9 through 13. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and gave Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is a salvation to be had in this life. And it's not just on Sunday morning if we feel good. We work out our salvation every day. Every morning you wake up, it's a new day to start working out your own salvation that day. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You can't decide one day that you're going to get good. You're not going to decide one day that you're going to start working. It's God that's going to have to work the desire in you. And He's left the guideline. He's left the pattern for us. He set the pattern. And He's called men to preach the, He called men to write the gospel. He called men to preach the gospel. And all of these things is to aid us in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I can aid my children, but still the bottom line, it remains their responsibility. If they fail and if they suffer the chastening rod of God, do they suffer? Absolutely. But are we exempt? No, we suffer with them. We hurt if they hurt. I hurt when I see loved ones hurting. I hurt with them. Well, I'm gonna read Hebrews 10. I'm gonna give you a few examples, and then I'm gonna get out of Brother Charles' way. Brother Charles Sandage has been the goodwill ambassador from Arkansas ever since I can remember. I mean that. I'm sincere. Anywhere you can go from California to Virginia. And you say you're from Arkansas, and somebody's going to say, oh, you know Elder Charles Sandage. I call that the goodwill ambassador from our state. Well, I'm going to say these few things as kindly and gently, but as forcefully as I know how. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I want you to share with anyone that will listen to you that we're living in a society that accepts sinning willfully. Yes. The primary number one sin that's committed willfully is forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's too many things that will allow people to just not make it. And I don't know about how it is here at an associational meeting or any kind of mega meeting. You don't get to read what's the reality of a particular church. At our church, we have a tremendous problem with about a third of the congregation does all of the singing. Because two-thirds of them gets there at preaching time. I think that's a willful sin.
Amen.
We're to lift up our voices together and sing praises to God Almighty. If a person has a job offer in a city or area where there's not a Primitive Baptist church to attend, if he accepts that job offer, no matter how lucrative it is, he's sinning willfully.
Amen.
He's getting to where he can't serve the Lord. You can serve the Lord to some degree outside the church, but you can't serve the Lord in spirit and in truth outside of living your life in a dedicated manner to the Primitive Baptist Church of your area. And it's about time that we started considering the fact we need to save the children.
Amen.
Way too many of our children are being lost to the world. Save the children. They're worth saving. They are the future. There's another willful sin, the use of drugs and alcohol. It's a serious problem. And it's a willful sin. And payday someday. Homosexuality is a sin. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you don't have to read but one verse of Scripture. Romans 1:27. And that's a willful sin. It's not an accident. It's planned. It's deliberate. And if we sin willfully, there's a certain fearful looking for of righteous indignation. I think our entire nation is in danger of the punishment of Almighty God for our tolerance of sin. Premarital sex is a sin. As a matter of fact, any kind of sexual activity outside of a married couple to each other is a sin. And it's a willful sin. It's not an accident. It's deliberate. Lying, cheating, stealing, all willful sins. I want to go to Proverbs 24:9. I'm going to close with this. This will be my downfall. The thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. Even the thoughts of foolishness is a willful sin. I thank you for your good attention. I know this has been scattered. I know it's been a 1 hour message put into a few minutes, but I do appreciate your opportunity to have been here. Your hospitality is absolutely admirable and appreciated and enjoyed by all of us. One thing, you don't ever pet and feed a stray dog.